Praise God. The Lord's good, isn't he? This is strictly by faith, but faith is anchored in something. It's anchored in the Word of God, the Spirit of God. And, I'm just going to give a little testimony and just read a few things. But, Leon was up here earlier, and he was talking about what he was going through. And, we can get in some pretty desperate situations. We can get in situations that are so overwhelming. I tell you what, we just about can't get it out. We all do. We all do. And whether we seem like we got it all together or not, we don't. We need him. We need him in every situation. And here's another thing. If you've never been in that situation, you will get there. Can you be encouraged now? That's a fact. The Lord is going to allow situations and circumstances to prevail in our life to the point to where we have to call on his name. And, my heart went out to Leon when he was up here talking because I know how that feels. I mean, most of us here, I think, do. And here's a little testimony I had. We went to the mountains for a couple of days, and we were on the way back yesterday. We'd gotten back toward, I guess, Winston-Salem or whatever. And I started feeling like my right kidney. I'm going, oh, gosh, I believe I got a kidney stone. I didn't say anything. I didn't tell my wife. Didn't tell anybody. But, man, I'm in pain. And by the time I got home, I was, good gracious, I was miserable. Anybody that's ever had a kidney stone knows how it feels. Labor and delivery. When you start dilating, you know you got a problem. Anyway, but you know what? It passed. I guess it passed. Something passed. And I went to bed early because I was tired from just hurting. Got into bed, woke up, I don't know, 12 or 1 o'clock, migraine in my right eye. And I thought, man, this is getting good. I mean, it's getting better as the minutes roll on or hours roll on. And I got it for a while, took some aspirin, went back to bed. Eventually, I got back to sleep maybe 3 or 4 hours later. And the next thing you know, sun's coming up. Up we go. And Shelly said, did you sleep good? I said, oh yeah, I sure did. But just getting ready this morning, thinking about the service, and just thinking about the Lord. I had usually a lot of times when the Lord speaks to me, many times is in prayer. You know, He promised He could do that to us, for us, and He speaks to us. But I went out to the studio out there, and I got in a corner where there was no light coming in, because if you have like a really bad headache, bright lights like this, it don't make you feel good, right? And anyway, I was sitting there and I was thinking about the Lord. I said, Lord, I came out here to talk to you and just pray, and I'm struggling to even saying anything. I had a couple of things specifically I wanted to pray about, and now I got this going on. So I said, but I remember this, God is our Father. He said, I know your need before you even ask. This is a great God. He's a great God. And I'm thinking, well, Lord, I'd like to pray, but my head's hurting so bad I can't even think. And this is what happened. Just in a split second, it was like, whew, everything left. Now, do I still have a little bit of a headache? Yes. But I'll tell you one thing. The tough part of it, to where I couldn't even hardly think, left. But along with it, it wasn't just that. Because you know what? God may call us to suffer, and the suffering remain. His purposes are accomplished with that. You know, I don't feel so great right now. It's not about feelings. We serve a God who raises the dead. And the thing about it is, what it encouraged me to do, just for a split second, but along with it came a passage. And that's what I'm going to read. Okay, now, just the whole passage didn't come to me, but just the remembrance of what happened there, and I feel like what the Lord spoke to me. It's in Ezekiel 37. I think everybody's familiar with this. Anyway, let's see. Beginning in verse 1. This is the valley of the dry bones. And I'll tell you what, the thing of it is, the Lord has a way of speaking to us to encourage us that usually it's in a situation that's not just bad, it's beyond bad. Does that stop God? No. If He raised us from the dead spiritually, that's the greatest miracle that will ever happen to us. We have been supernaturally born again by God. And the thing of this, it says we were dead in trespasses and sins. It took a miracle for us to be saved. But it also takes a miracle, a supernatural miracle, for us to walk with him. And a lot of it is him bringing his word back to us and speaking to us. It's still the same supernatural power, right? And do we all need that? Yes, absolutely. Let's begin in verse 1. This is the first thing he says. The hand of the Lord was on me. It's good when the hand of the Lord is on us. And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. So the Lord, he says, the Lord's hand was on me. He took me out. I'm sitting right there in a valley of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. So, you know, you can go to a butcher shop and see a bone where they've carved the meat off of it, and you can cut it in half. The marrow is still red. But he said, these bones were dry. They were very dry. God has a way of speaking and saying, look, I want you to know how bad a situation can look and what I can do. Okay, so Ezekiel says they were very dry. And then God asked him, son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel didn't say yes or no. He just said, Lord, you alone know. He didn't say, yes, you can because you're God. He just said, you know, I guess, you know, it's good to be honest with the Lord. Sometimes we might even say, God, you can do anything. And inside we're saying, I don't think you can do it this time. I mean, if we're honest, if faith speaks to us, believing God and trusting God and him making all things work together for our good, it would mean that it really does work together for our good. And yet when we get in situations that are so bad, it's like, is it really true? Has anybody ever said that? Okay, let's keep going through the bones here. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of God. That's the first thing. Hear the word of God. I tell you, there's power in the word of God. It brings, you know what? The word of God, there's life in the word of God because he's in the word, right? And when the Spirit led him to say this and prophesy that, that was God saying it. Okay, this is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put my breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I tell you, when that happens, then you know he's the Lord. He's taking a situation that is so bad and so pathetic, there's no possible way in this situation these bones could live. And what do? They lived. Okay? Let's keep going here. Okay, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together. They're still kind of bony. They're crackling and rattling. Okay? Bone to bone, I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Even with them coming together, you know what? It don't matter how things look, it even looks better. We need God. God has to breathe that life into us. Praise God. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up, a vast army. Praise God. A valley of dead bones, and all of a sudden they're standing up. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. You can say the people of God. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. That situation there, I mean, it's simply bringing out that, you know what? Even when the situation looks dead, what did God do? What about Abraham when he had to believe by faith? Sarah's womb was dead. I mean, it was gone. And guess what? Isaac came forth, did he not? He came forth. The Lord, I tell you what he encouraged me with this morning. It doesn't matter what your situation is. God is bigger. And when he puts things in this word to say, look, you keep looking to me, nothing is impossible with me. If you keep your eyes fixed on me and trust me, you're going to see what I can do. And see, that's what we all need in the first place anyway. And that produces faith. I'm going to read one more thing. And this is in 2 Corinthians 1. I'm just going to go ahead and go on down to verse 8. This is what Paul says. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure. And then he says this. He's talking about trials far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. I mean, it was going so bad for them, it's like, I don't even want to live. I mean, this is a bad situation. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. Death showed up again. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Does that encourage you?
Yes.
That helps me. Yes. And I guess just a little thing that happened to me this morning. I find that I have to continually be brought back to that same place. God has to bring me afresh back to the place to where I fully realize and know, apart from Him, I can do nothing. But that's what He's bringing us all to. And, you know, He's a faithful God. He's a great God. Right? And I think that's all I have this morning.
Praise God. I appreciate that. I suspect that Steve and I are not the only ones that perhaps came out of last week's service encouraged by the love of God for us. And we were sort of at a certain point emotionally and mentally, and we didn't. How many of you were there and didn't stay there? That's the thing. We tend to depend upon those things far more than we realize. And we don't realize how it really is to live and to walk with the Lord and what He's trying to do. And my feelings have been all over the map and dead. Even walking up here this morning, again, I had to say, Lord, I can't do this, but You can. So I'm just trusting Him to order my thoughts. But, you know, as I was thinking about this, we have words in this book that encourage us. And, you know, Steve read some of the very ones, one of the ones that I was going to read this morning. And, you know, we read the words of Paul and others. And it's awfully easy to somehow imagine that they're different from us. Anybody ever felt that? Maybe if not mentally, emotionally. You know, well, that's all well and good for them, but, you know, here's how I feel. Here's what I'm going through. My experience is different. Mine is deeper. It's not that simple. You know, 1,001 ways in which we sort of make ourselves different from the people who wrote these words and through whom God spoke. And, you know, one scripture that came to me that I'll just refer to, because we know that James was encouraging believers in chapter 5 to pray with faith, right? What did he use as an example? He used Elijah, didn't he? He said Elijah was a man in King James of like passions, other translations. He was just as human as we are. That would be a modern way of saying the same thing. In other words, Elijah was just like you. When you're talking about his natural attributes, now obviously we're different in some respects. But God didn't pick Elijah because he was Superman and could do all this kind of stuff. God picked a man who was just totally human, had every weakness, every doubt, every thing that you can think of that you and I wrestle with every single day. He had all that. But when God's Spirit was on him, he was able to do mighty things, just like, you know, the vision that Ezekiel had. Was that Ezekiel's power that did any of that? No, he simply yielded to what the Lord told him to do and did it, and God's power flowed through him and accomplished something. That's what God has called every one of us to, but we don't get that. We think, you know, we're supposed to, well, we sing the song, like I guess I mentioned Wednesday night, and we sang it again this morning, there's a place in God. We think that there's this place where no trouble ever happens. We just feel, oh, wonderful all the time. We don't realize there's a way that the only way we can enjoy that is to learn how to walk in faith. And it's people who will go through deep, deep, deep things and still learn how to handle it. So reaching this place is not some spiritual achievement for a select few. This is something where, that God longs to share with every one of us. But I'll guarantee the people of Scripture were people just like us. And how many of you need to get that? I do. Because I swear, I guarantee you that this is something that emotionally happens to me a lot. I'll read something that Paul went through and he expresses it, and somehow, Lord, he doesn't know what I'm going through. He doesn't know what I'm feeling. Doesn't know the things that I'm dealing with on the inside, and he doesn't know my weaknesses. But the reality is, if we look into the lives, every here and now, here and there, we'll get a glimpse into the lives of these people that God used so mightily, and we'll realize, hey, they know what they're talking about because they have been there. They've been to deeper places than I ever have, and what they're saying is in the light of that. You know, Paul was obviously a very zealous, religious man. We know all about his history in that respect and how God mightily saved him. Jesus appeared to him supernaturally, and he had a powerful conversion. And he did immediately begin to testify in the synagogues there in Damascus, I believe it was, that Jesus was the Christ. And he finally had to sneak out of there. They let him down the wall in a basket so he could get away. But the thing many people don't stop to think about is that Paul did not immediately go out and start preaching. There was one three-year period where he talks about the fact that he went to the backside of the desert. Now, that's quite a school, isn't it? And God revealed deep things to him and began to teach him. But you know, it's awfully easy when we think about that to think about God just sitting him in a classroom. I mean, we could almost imagine it's like a Bible school with a professor in a tweed jacket sitting there who has spent his life studying through books, and he's going to explain it all. But I'll tell you, the education that Paul got was not like that. Yes, he had a knowledge of truth. He knew what was true. But the education that he needed and that I need is how to live this life that God has given to us. That's what he came to do. He came to help us to let go, to die to a life that can never survive, that's corrupted by sin, to lose that and to gain a life that can never die and it cannot be corrupted by sin. But the process of learning to live that is so much deeper than simply knowing what the Bible says and trying to do it. How many of you ever had find success doing that? No, it's got to be a whole lot deeper. And so I think we can catch glimpses in Paul's writings here and there of what he went through. For example, Paul writes with considerable emotion in Romans 7, the scripture we've often used, about how he very zealously, after he came to Christ, he very zealously set out to live for God. I'm going to be a righteous man. I'm going to please him. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to go for it now. I've met Jesus. I know what it's all about, so I'm going to go for it. Well, how did that work out? See, he came to a point of deep emotional distress. This was not some five-minute deal. This was not a classroom lecture that he went through. This was a deep experience over a period of time where Paul actually came to a point of despair. God, I see what the problem is. I've got something operating in me. I've got a law operating in this flesh. It doesn't matter what I do and how hard I try, it's going to undermine every effort that I have to live for you. It's just not in me to do it. I want to do what's right, and I don't. I don't want to do what's wrong, and I go ahead and do it. Oh, God, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? And in that context, the Lord was now able to say, all right, Paul, let me show you the direction here. Let me show you what my salvation is about. I get this. The problem is you didn't. And the only way you were going to understand this was to go through it. You had to run smack into the problem in order for me to be able to tell you, okay, I get it. That's why I sent my son. That's why he died, because you can't live it. You can't be what I want you to be. But that's not how it happens, Paul. You need to allow me to come and live in me, in you. And so the righteousness that the law talks about, that begins to happen not because you are strong and able to do it and able to walk in the principles. It's because you let me live and you let go and you let God have his place in your heart. But how did Paul learn that? I'm going back to his education. Paul had to go through something very, very traumatic and deep and real to be able to tell us the things that he did. And so when we read his words, it's awfully easy to just sort of blow that off as though, well, that's Paul, you know. Sure, he can do it. He's seen wonderful visions of heaven. He's been with the Lord. God's explained it all to him. And after all, he's Paul. And there he is on Mount Zion up there, floating around like an eagle with his wings spread and looking down at us poor, I was going to say schnooks, but I'll let the transcriptionists have fun with that one. But anyway, looking down at us poor common people down here and saying, well, I'm going to throw them a few breadcrumbs. This is what it's like up here. And if you just do this, you'll get here. In order for any member of the body of Christ, get this, any member of the body of Christ to be of any good spiritually to anybody else, we're going to have to learn the realities of the kingdom of God. We're going to have to learn the hard way, usually. I would say invariably, we're going to have to learn the hard way what this Christian life is about. Because you and I don't have a single thing naturally that can help anybody else spiritually. Now, I don't care if somebody is an orator and it can explain the words of this book. There's no life in that. That's just information. We need power. We need exactly what Steve was talking about. We need the supernatural power of God to come in to these dry bones so that they can live. But what does it take to do that? And you know, as I was going through my week, and of course it didn't, you know, it's interesting. Last week I came in, I just had a sense, and I had had it for several days. The Lord had just kind of made his love real. It wasn't some scintillating experience, but there was just something that was a calm that I felt. And the Lord helped me, I believe, in a measure to express what the Lord wants to be the anchor of everyone's soul here. Where we get our roots down in the reality that God loves us and that everything he allows and orders in our life comes from a heart of love to do us good and to lead us to that place that he has for us. And I came in with a sense of that, and I felt like the Lord helped me to express it. And then emotionally, it went all downhill from there. And so I come to the end of this week, and Lord, where are you? I don't feel a thing. I can't get my thoughts together. My thoughts want to go every direction, sometimes the wrong one. And I find myself drifting off here. Wait a minute, we can't go that way. And it's just, you know, where is God now? And so I come in this morning, I didn't feel any of that. How many of you, is this normal? You know, we need to realize this is normal. If you're expecting to get to a place emotionally where you just coast, you just don't understand. And God is going to take us through what it takes to get us there. But anyway, the interesting thing is that I was thinking about Paul, because so many of the things that we refer to are written by Paul. But I believe it is important for us to get the fact Paul wasn't writing this as simply information that he got in a classroom. This was stuff that he learned in the school of hard knocks. He knew what he was talking about. And he was not talking down to people and saying, you need to be like me. I'm strong and I know and all of this stuff. He's saying, man, I'm the weakest of the weak, but I've been where you're at. I felt what you feel. And the Lord has helped me and he strengthened me, but it's not because I'm anything, it's because of grace. It's because God gives me strength and favor that I could never earn or deserve. He sustains me. It's His life in me. That's what I want you to get. I don't want you to think that I'm somebody special and I can explain it all. Oh, God, I want you to know that I know where you're at. I don't care what you're feeling today. Where we talked, you know, was it Steve, somebody. Anyway, praise God, that was mentioned, that I mentioned sometimes coming in here with a pasted smile on. And we're prone to do that. But the reality is, I'll guarantee, the very fact that I've had this on my heart is enough for me to know that there are people here. Leon's not the only one. I appreciate him getting up there like that. But Leon, you're not the only one. There are hearts that are struggling. There are people emotionally who are dealing with recurring needs and issues in their lives and things that they're worried about, burdens they're carrying about this and that, failures, shortcomings, you name it. You're carrying those burdens this morning. And they're real. And they're weighing you down and saying, how can I get to this place that I'm supposed to be at? Why was it so easy for Paul? Well, the answer is it wasn't easy for Paul. He went through a lot. And I'll go back to 2 Corinthians, because 2 Corinthians is a book in which Paul, in several places, kind of gives us a little bit of a glimpse of what he went through. And I will back up a little earlier than where Steve began, although he used one of the verses I was going to use. But anyway, he says in verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." Do you need it this morning? Yeah. "Who comforts us in all our trouble, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." See, there's the pattern. This is not just some theory Paul is dumping on us. This is something where he had to go through something in order for God to give him the answer to that, and that is what equipped him to help others. It's pretty simple, isn't it? "For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation." Wait a minute. Paul distressed? I thought Paul had it all together. You mean Paul actually went through things where he was distressed? I don't mean just some momentary feeling, but I mean Paul went through a period of time where things were just awful. He felt terrible. He probably had the headache and the kidney stone too. Who knows? But Paul just felt, oh God, is there any hope? And he tried to find it in his circumstances, and there just wasn't anything. Oh God, what's going on here? I don't understand. I'm your servant. Why is this happening? I thought I was supposed to be able to enjoy your fellowship all the time, and here I am going through this terrible place. Oh God. But this is Paul, isn't it? All right? "If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation." If you're going through something this morning, it isn't just for you. It is for you because God wants you to take on more of Him and learn of Him and gain the upper hand in some of that stuff. But we still have to go through it. But if you're going through it, God is putting you through it because you are going to be equipped because of your experience to be able to help somebody else. God wants you to be a vessel. Now, we can see it in somebody like Paul. It's obvious with him. God had a particular calling for Paul, and He put him through a difficult school. And it's because of the school that Paul went through that he is able to help us, and we can take his words this morning and know that they come from a heart that has been where you're at and probably a lot worse. Undoubtedly a lot worse, as we'll see. So anyway, "If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer." How do you learn how to be patient? Yeah, the hard way. I've got to have something to be patient about. And so the only way that's going to happen is God's going to have to allow us to go through things that drive us to Him. And then we get some of more and more of Him in our hearts and our lives. Anyway, and then this is the scripture that follows that Brother Steve read. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Are you in despair this morning about something? Paul was a whole lot deeper in that hole than you and I probably have ever been. As far as he was concerned, it was over. Can you imagine the thoughts that were probably going through his mind? We read this in a minute or two, or a second or two. This is not some five-minute experience. This is a period of time. Can you imagine what the devil was telling Paul during all this time? You imagine how his emotions were and the things that he was having to wrestle with, the questions that the devil was throwing in his mind. Paul, why did you do this? What did you do wrong to cause God to punish you like this? 1,001 doubtful, negative thoughts of self-pity, you name it. All the things that go with that feeling. And despair is not just, I'm having a hard time. This is, oh God, I give up. There ain't no answer for this. I'm done here. But God brought him through, didn't he? Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. This was real. This was deep. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves but on God who raises the dead. Praise God. And he goes on to talk about how going through that was the very means, it was the very agency by which God enabled him to be able to help people who were going through stuff. And they could look at him and know, Paul, you're speaking with authority because I know where you've been. You didn't get this in seminary sitting in a classroom. You got this out there going through something much worse than I'm going through. So I can listen to you because you've been there and done that. Folks, I don't know. I'm probably going to beat this dead horse here this morning, but this is something we need to get. We need to realize that God's people are in the same boat. That it's okay. That we have a God who is using the things from this life to change us. We talked about changes that need to be made in us. This is how it happens. Because if you and I are not challenged with something, we will, by default, live out our human nature. God has to put something, has to challenge that so that we realize, so we see about, we learn about ourselves. You know, when Paul was in the wilderness, he just didn't learn about God, he learned about Paul. Those are the hardest lessons of all. It's wonderful to find out how wonderful he is, but, oh God, I don't want to know about this guy. Don't uncover that. Oh God. But God is going to uncover everything, at least to our own hearts, to the point where we're going to be able to let go and let him have his way. But there is no other way than what we're talking about. I didn't make a list of scriptures here, but you can go on through and you see. I'll just mention one little thing here. It comes at the end of chapter 1 where he talks about not that we lord it over your faith. You think it's easy to think about Paul as being way up here and talking down and just commanding people this way in that sense. But Paul did not have that sense in his own heart. That wasn't Paul's attitude. Paul was one who came with weakness and fear and much trembling, he says in 1 Corinthians. He was there among them as a brother, encouraging, using gifts that God had given him to help other people. But man, he didn't think of himself as up here. He thought of himself as walking right among the brothers. Isn't that what Peter expresses in 1 Peter 5? When he's talking to the elders, said, I'm an elder too. Don't you be a lord, but you be an example. How do you think Peter got to that point? What did it take for Peter to be able to minister that way and to have that kind of a spirit? You suppose what he went through when Jesus was on the when Jesus was crucified had something to do with that? That was a deep, traumatic lesson. Surely during that time, Peter's mind was assaulted. This took place over 2 or 3 days. When Jesus was on the cross and in the tomb, and they didn't know how it was all going to turn out. And there's Peter. Look what I did. Oh, God. You ever been through a traumatic failure? And you're wondering, how in the world? Where do I stand? How can I have any hope? But what the Lord wanted Peter to see was Peter. So he could let go and let the Lord change him. And isn't it awesome, as we pointed out so many times, how the Lord knew this was going to happen and prayed for him? And says, when you've been turned back, you've strengthened your brothers. Peter only saw the circumstances. Jesus said, I got a plan. I'm going to use that guy. But right now, he's so full of self-confidence that I can't use him. So I got to do something that's going to break that. It's going to bring him to a place where he could stand among the people of God and be the mighty apostle Peter and still stand there and just talk to him like brothers and sisters. And they would look at him and they wouldn't get this sense, this guy's way up here and I can never quite be that. This is somebody who's been there and done that. I mean, you can go on through scriptures that we've used many times, of course, in chapter 4 about all that he went through and the fact that the treasure of the ministry that God had given him was in jars of clay. The reason was to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And that, then he tells us what's necessary for that to happen. To be hard-pressed, to be perplexed, to be persecuted, to be struck down. The stuff that Paul had to go through in order to carry out the ministry that God had given him and to be able to do it with the power of God and not his human energy. We imagine somehow that if God will just explain it to us, or if we can just get an experience, that somehow it will catapult us into a place of spiritual maturity and power. It doesn't happen. There's only one school, and it's the school of walking with Jesus day by day, learning about him, but learning about us. Learning to let go, learning to lay hold, and it's a day by day walk with him. And that's what it was for Paul. That's what we need to realize. Paul didn't get to where he could tell us the wonderful truths that he did just simply by learning about them. I guess I said that a time or two, hadn't I? But that's all right. And let's see, there's a few other scriptures I just want to read. Well, he talks about some of the things he went through. Chapter 6, verse 3, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. You know, the background of all this is this, that Paul had poured his life and his heart into the church at Corinth, establishing them, encouraging them, bringing them out of their heathen practices, and just had this deep, crushing burden on his spirit to help them. And then some other ministries had come in there, false ministries, and were trying to woo the hearts of the people away. And one of the issues that they brought up was these other guys were trained speakers, so they were very impressive when they stood before the people. And Paul evidently was not a good speaker. You ever thought about that? Imagine Paul, oh yes, mighty orator. No, Paul was not an orator. Paul was definitely not the kind of guy you want to hear if you want to be entertained with good speech. But he had something from God, didn't he? Praise God. So now it's in the context of him having to defend himself against these false ministries. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way in great endurance. How did Paul learn these principles of endurance he encourages us? He had to go through it, didn't he? In troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, in riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love and truthful speech than in the power of God with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and on the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report. You had people tell tales about you? They did that with Paul. They spread lies about him. That's a tough one. When you know what you stand for and there's people out there lying about you, there's a whole lot of stuff that touches this old nature, doesn't there? How do you get rid of that? How do we gain the mastery over these things? Got to go through stuff. And that's what Paul had been through. Okay? Bad report, good report, genuine yet regarded as imposters, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. Boy, what a contrast of what Paul had, can you just see in that? You just get a glimpse of what Paul had to go through in order to be where he was at and do what he was doing. Yeah, what an insight. That needs to encourage us, folks. When he's talking about the things, when he's exhorting us to live for him and to have a spirit of perseverance, he knew what he was talking about because he'd been in places that are deeper than anyone here has ever, ever been in. Okay? There's one little verse in chapter 7, or a couple of verses, beginning in verse 5, "For when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within." Paul? Afraid? I didn't think he was afraid of anything. You know, praise God that there were accounts like in Philippi where they sang in the jail. But it's awfully easy to look at that and say, well, Paul knew exactly how to handle every situation. Nothing ever really bothered him. Yes, it was tough, but he could flip the right switch and everything would be great. I'll guarantee it wasn't that way. We get glimpses of that, but we also get a sense in a lot of his writing that he went through some deep, deep, deep dark valleys. Places where he was genuinely afraid. Now, he's the one who wrote the words, God has not given us a spirit of fear. He knew something about that. He knew it because he'd been there and experienced the fear. He knew how the devil could work to make people afraid of this and afraid of that. God brought him through so that he could learn the answer and learn how to come to God and then learn. And then other people could say, Paul, I'm afraid, help me. He says, I know how you feel. I know exactly how you feel. But let me turn your mind and your eyes to the source of your help. And God can take away your fear. God can bring you to a place. You'll know that he's in charge. You know you don't have to be afraid. Praise God. There's only one way that anybody can help anybody in that area. We're going to have to go through genuine experiences of fear. And then learn that God is faithful. Isn't that what happens when we talked last week about roots? Isn't that what happens when a tree undergoes a storm? What happens when a tree is shaken and in the wind? Doesn't it dig its roots down deeper? See, God sends the wind many times so that we'll get our roots deeper into his love and we'll realize, hey, there's no end to the resource that I have to face whatever I have to face. Praise God. There's 8 and 9. He goes into the passage about they're trying to get up the offering for the saints at Jerusalem. I don't want to go into that. I think the passage that I'm thinking of particularly this will be enough on this part of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul is going talking specifically about these false ministries. And the fact that the devil himself, Satan himself, masquerades as the angel of light. And we need to realize that there's a master spirit of deception behind what's going on here. That's why Paul was concerned about it. This wasn't just theological debate about inconsequential things. This was another spirit coming in and trying to undermine what God had done through him. Paul wasn't doing this to boast and say, look at me. He's saying, let me give you my credentials here compared to theirs. All right. Let's go down to the middle of 21. What anyone else dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. That's 39, in case your math is not up to date. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. That's a lot of danger. Been through some stuff, hasn't he? I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked besides everything else. This is all the external stuff. Anybody here been through all this? Nowhere near. This guy is speaking with some authority, isn't he? You know, if he says something, we can listen. We can say, wait a minute, he's been in deeper places than I've ever been. He knows what he's talking about. All right? Besides everything else, more than all this, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. So here's his conclusion here. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. You feel weak this morning? I don't see too many heads shaking, but I'll bet you there's one or two of you that do. Who is weak? Well, Paul's able to say, yeah, me too. I'm weak. I understand completely how you feel. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Listen to this one. Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? Paul? You mean temptation comes and he just sort of blows it off, never bothers him at all, never feels? Getting into some deep territory, aren't we? Very personal. Every one of us has ways that the devil would appeal to us, to appeal to our nature and try to pull on us. You think Paul didn't feel that? You think he'd gotten to a place in his experience where that wasn't a problem to me anymore. I've got this licked. I've got it handled. I just know which spiritual button to push. I'm up on the mountain. You just come up here and join me. This is wonderful up here. Paul had to walk daily the same walk that you and I need to walk. That's the reality. And so when Paul talks about getting your roots down into the love of God, this was a guy who knew from deep, deep experience that was necessary. He would never have gotten his roots down into God if he hadn't learned about Paul the hard way. So when he says, don't be discouraged, you know, put one foot in front of another, all the exhortations that we find throughout his writings, he knew what he was talking about. This was not theory to him. This was something he was doing every single day of his life. You know, my mind went to the familiar passage in Philippians 3 that we read so often. But there's something in there that I just want to focus on. This is where he says the goal of his life is he wants to know Christ and so forth. But then he lets us know where he's at in his own personal experience. He says, not, verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. Paul is not standing before the people and saying, follow me because I've gotten to the top of the mountain and I can tell you how to get there. I'm here. Be like me. Boy, you got people in religion today. You'd get that feeling. I think you know better than to look at me and think that I'm somebody way up here, because I am not. Man, if you followed me around, if you lived inside my head all the time, you'd know better. But I'd know the same thing about you. Folks, we are everyone on the same journey. And so when Paul is writing to them, he is trying to get across to the people, I know exactly what you're going through. This is what my life is like. God has not given me some destination I can attain through an experience. All the knowledge he's given me does not translate into perfect experience. I've got to go through it step by step by step by step as God allows things to happen. In fact, I'll drop this in because we didn't go to 2 Corinthians 12. That was where Paul talks about how the Lord taught him that his own strength was not enough. Remember how God allowed a demon to oppress him? And he had we've talked about this many times, but he had the reaction, same reaction we would have. Oh God, get this off of me. I want to serve you, and this is getting in the way. Paul didn't understand. And finally the Lord helped him to understand. You know, we need to be in a place where we can hear God's voice. We're not explaining it to God and trying to get him to do what we think is right. We need to come to a place where, God, I don't know. Just tell me how it really is. I want to learn from you, and I don't know. I'm going to humble myself under your hand, Lord. You can make this go away or not. But Paul was in a place where he could hear God's voice. So the Lord finally explained, Paul, I've given you a lot of stuff, and I know what human pride is like, and that's going to get in your way. And your strength in ministry does not come from you being strong. It comes from you being weak and letting me be strong. And I've got grace that can help you to stand up under this. You don't have to fall down and be ineffective just because you're having to fight. In fact, fighting is building your spiritual muscles. We don't want to fight. We want a place of peace and joy and rest. And if it's fighting, there's something wrong. My God, Paul said, fight the good fight of the faith. It's going to be a fight. And I'll guarantee you, one of the things I was going to say earlier was, I felt like the Lord drew near last week, at least to me. I hope it was for somebody else, to magnify his love and the reality of it, and what a solid foundation it is for our hearts to be able to sink our roots down and know that he loves us regardless of what else is going on. But how easy it is to come out of that and just forget that Satan is going to be challenging that. Has Satan challenged that in your life this week? Has he come against you? Do the winds blow? The feelings change? Circumstances changed? What do we expect? We ought to know that from the Word of God. We're going to have to take the territory that he's given us in battle, but God is going to be with us to do it. That's what the Christian life is about. Anyway, where was I here? All right, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on. So this is Paul's method of living. He's recognizing that there is going to be opposition, else why would he say press? You don't just stroll along without any opposition. There is going to be some opposition. But Paul's every day with the focus of his heart, there's a goal. God's called me to something amazing. That's what is motivating me. That's what I believe in, the God who has promised to take me there. And so every day I'm going to get up. I realize there's a fight to get there, but I'm going to simply press on. If I feel good, I'm going to press on. If I feel bad, I'm going to press on. If I feel discouraged, if I feel fearful, all the things that the enemy would try to rouse up in my heart and my mind, the circumstances that would overwhelm me, There's only one bottom line, is that I'm going to press on. Now, the thing that drew me back to this is, again, doesn't it make a difference when you read words like this to realize what Paul himself had been through to be able to write these words? There is not anything that anybody here has ever experienced or will ever experience that Paul hadn't. Paul knew what he was talking about, didn't he? I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do. Now, here's something that I want to focus on for a moment. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, and he presses on toward the goal. Wait a minute. Paul had stuff to forget? Maybe you come to the end of your day and there's stuff that you just as soon hadn't happened. I said that. I had a wrong attitude. My mind went in the wrong direction. I might have done something. I might have really fallen in the mud. Somebody said something. There's a million and one things. We've emphasized that in the past, that we cannot carry our past. But Paul wrote this not just as theory to other people. This was something that Paul had to do. That meant Paul had things that he would come to the end of the day and say, well, I need to leave that behind. That's not something I can take with me. I messed up. God allowed me to mess up in that area because I needed to learn something. But thank God I can leave it behind. I'm not going to carry the burden and the weight of all of even my failures. Paul failed? Sure. These are people of like passions as we are. They're just as human as you and I. And Paul went through real experiences every day. This is a description of Paul's day-to-day life. This is not just simply words of wisdom he dumps on us from the mountaintop. This is what my life is like. I come to the end of a day, I look back, there's stuff, I'm not proud of everything. I can't say everything was a success. I can't say that, but I know the Lord had to take me and show me things and teach me in the arena of life some stuff about Him, some stuff about me that I couldn't have learned any other way. But thank God I don't have to carry the burden, the guilt, the fear, all of the negative stuff. I can leave that back there because of the cross. And I can reach forth with a freedom. This is the Christian life. But this is Paul's daily life. Paul had stuff he had to leave behind. Just let that sink in a little bit. When you're having a tough time, when you go through something, when you fall in the mud, when you're certain you're not going to ever do that again, and you do. That's something to leave behind, isn't it? You think Paul hadn't experienced that? Oh, yeah. That's what he's talking about here. He's not talking about just what we're supposed to do. He's saying, this is what I'm doing. This is my life. This is what it's about. This is one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind. I got to forget stuff. This stuff I got to leave behind. I know it's not where I'm going. It's not part of that. I got to leave it behind. And straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example. You know, you read words like that and you say, yeah, I'm supposed to measure up to Paul. He was a righteous guy. He knew how to do stuff. How is that going to happen? I'm not like Paul. Yeah, you are. Paul had a particular calling. You've got a particular calling. This is the Christian life. But don't ever read these words without realizing that the one who wrote the words knows what you're going through, knows what you're feeling, knows when you have failed, about the fact that you've failed in some areas, knows that you've come short, knows that your fears, all these things that we've talked about. These are people who have been there and done that. Isn't that how God works? Did he send his son down in a golden chariot to say, I'm offering salvation? He came down and lived a human life, experiencing all of the evil of this world, far more than you and I ever will. Tempted at every point. He knows what your temptation feels like. He knows how this nature cries out for something that's contrary to what God designed it for. And the Lord did that deliberately so that we would have somebody that we know we could go to, and we know he gets it. He understands what I'm feeling, and he's able to help me. The only way you and I are going to get to where he wants to take us is to walk with him every day. He will bring up the issues in your heart and your life and mine that he's dealing with. He's dealing with them not to condemn us, not to beat us down, not to make us afraid, not to cause us to despair, but to set us free. And the only way that we can be set free from the things that hold us that are part of this nature is to face them and to bring them to him, to lay them at his feet and bring them to the cross. And to come to him and partake of strength that we don't have, we don't deserve, but because of his love and his purpose. God is going to drive us to him and teach us of him. And we're going to learn of him. But it's a day by day by day kind of thing. And he's going to take you through some dark valleys. Don't you be discouraged by that. You know, God leads his people along, doesn't he? We sing that song sometimes. God leads us along. Sometimes it is through the mountain, but sometimes it's through a deep, dark valley. But like David said, if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with me. Even there, your hand is going to lead me. So I praise God. I've certainly been in an emotional place where I couldn't say that I had much sense that God was around from any natural standpoint, but I know he is. You know, this gets back to things we've said many times. The things that God looks for from his children when he takes us through these things is simply that thing we call faith, where we believe what he has said more than we believe what we're feeling and experiencing in the negative wisdom that tends to come with that. We make choices to believe when there's no other reason to do it because of the one who has said it. We trust him because we have learned enough about his heart to know that he has our best interest eternally at heart. And so we look to his love, we trust him, we have confidence toward him. Anyway, I think that's probably, I've probably gotten across what, or tried to at least, what I felt like the Lord had on my heart this morning. But don't you be discouraged today. Wherever you're at, whatever's going on in your mind, in your heart, you look up, you look past that, and you say, God's leading me in this place for a reason. He wants me to learn something about him. I can't learn any other way. And the ones that he has used to pen these words upon which we depend so much, so frequently, they understand it too. They didn't get it in school, in a normal, what we think of as a school. They got it because they went through deep waters. Deeper waters than I have, probably. But I'll tell you, there's a God who has called you, who is faithful, and is going to take every one of us who put our trust in him all the way home. And I'll tell you, none of this that drags us down and hinders us right now, that's going to be gone. But he needs us to put one foot in front of another, whether we're on the mountain, whether the sun is shining, whether it's raining, whether the wind is blowing, whatever's going on. It's the same thing. I still believe. I still believe. And I'm going to put one foot in front of another, and I'm going to just leave the past in God's hands and go on. There's a simplicity to that, but I want us, again, my mind keeps going back to this. Paul knew what he was talking about when he wrote those words. That was his everyday experience. And so I want to listen, don't you? We serve a God who's faithful. Praise God.